Morning, everybody. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany. Take a moment of quiet just to align ourselves with why we're here. We come from scattered lives to meet with one another and with God. So let us recognize God's presence with us. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Eternal God, source of all blessing, help us to worship you with all our heart and mind and strength. For you alone are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. We should sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is number 72, brilliantly called Come, Let Us Sing. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit on you for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect Prayer for today. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, we'll have our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 to 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
David will shortly be preaching for us, but before that we'll sing our second hymn, which is number 43, Bind Us Together.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by Jesus, the Jews, for the ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he received his glory, and his disciples believed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
May the words on my lips, the thoughts in all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. Most weddings in the Church of England have a reference to the wedding at Cana. We don't know much about this wedding. We don't know the names of the bride and the groom. It was their big day, or rather their big week, as Jewish custom at the time called for a feast that lasted 6 days. So Jesus goes to the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. The Gospel says that he was there with his mother. It also indicates that Jesus' disciples were there. It also indicates that Jesus had not yet begun his active ministry. So we can conclude that while Jesus had begun calling his disciples, he was still living near his mother. Now the essence of this story is made apparent in the third sentence. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." The bride and the groom ran out of wine for their guests. Nothing worse could possibly happen. It was expected that the food and the wine would flow continuously during the week-long party. Imagine being the young couple who would be remembered as the ones whose wedding the wine ran out. So now, somehow, Mary gets to know. Perhaps you notice the anxious steward, or perhaps you notice some of the guests were getting a bit upset. She gets up from her seat and casually walks over to where Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and she says to him, "They have no wine." Meaning, "Son, this is serious. Do something." So let's pause here for a moment, because there might be a message hidden in the gospel lesson that we're likely to miss. It's a message for us to be able to smile, to be able to find humour in the Bible. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to laugh, or at least to smile, just a little bit. Perhaps this gospel lesson is one of these times. We're not trying to make light of the gospel message, but we need to know through the eyes of Jesus' humanity, particularly with regard to Jesus' relationship with his mother. Because this moment is a priceless moment. It's a classic moment. the kind that often occurs between mother and her adult son. Picture the situation. Here's Jesus sitting with his new disciples. They're eating good food, drinking some wine, laughing, getting to know each other better, having a really good time. Mary's been off with her friends, eating and laughing and having a nice time too. When someone, somehow, she realizes that the party has just run out of wine. So what does she do? She gets up, tells the wine steward to follow her. She walks over to her son. She taps him on the shoulder and says, "They have no wine." Now, if we are mothers or who have adult sons or who are adult sons, let's try to visualize this moment. Try to visualize the facial expressions and reactions that we're familiar with. Let's picture this interaction while visualizing our own experiences. Mary doesn't say they have no wine, is there anything you can do? She just says they have no wine. Then she stands there staring at Jesus. You can almost hear the implied, get up out of that chair and do something. She doesn't just think Jesus might be able to do something. She absolutely, unquestionably knows he will do something. And that's faith, my friends. That's faith. But it is also just a little funny when you put it in the context of mother and adult son. How does Jesus respond? Well, it sounds more just a little rude, but there again, remember, this is mother and adult son. So Jesus responds, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, from my own experience with my own mother, the look that Mary most likely gave Jesus at that moment would probably have curled his hair or singed it off. It doesn't matter how old you are. As a son, one does not dismiss one's mother with that kind of statement. There's also that inconvenient little commandment, honour your father and mother. Jesus probably knew without any doubt at that moment that he'd better do something, and do it quickly, if he knew what was good for him. Such is the power of a mother throughout one's life. So Mary does what any good mother would have done. After giving him the look, she just puts him on the spot in the way he can't get out of. She turns to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you to do. Do it." Then with another meaningful look at her son, she goes back to enjoying the party with her friends. At once we've understood the humour, we can go back to have a better appreciation for the enormity of what just has happened here. Think what Mary has just done. She has just kick-started Jesus' ministry, a ministry that will lead to our salvation. You see, Jesus was hesitating here. God the Father had sent him into the world on a world-saving mission, but he didn't yet feel that the time had come to reveal himself. But his mother knew. She knew that the time had come. She was pushing him into a place that he was still hesitating to go. He didn't feel ready, but she knew he was. Mothers always know. Just as my mother knows her son, Mary knew Jesus. She didn't argue with him. She didn't cajole. She just said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." She knew that he would step up and help. So the moment came. Jesus began his ministry with a sign. A sign that may seem a little innocuous to the grand scheme of things. A sign that may seem trivial when compared with other signs he gave. He didn't think he was really ready yet. But his mother knew he was. Well, we know what the story's like. He saw six huge stone water jars designed holding water. And water would be used for the rites of purification, for cleansing. So being a good son, and not wanting to get on with the bad side of his mother, he tells his servants to fill the jars with water, and these men, who probably also had a few sniggers at that point, take these huge jars, fill them to the brim with water. Then Jesus says, "Now draw some out and take it to the ruler of the feast." That's it. That's all he does. No prayers, no waving of hands, just take it to the chief steward. So the servants do. The chief steward tastes the wine and says, "Everyone serves the good wine first, when the guests have drunk freely. Then that which is worse. You have kept the good wine until now." The author of this gospel finishes the story by saying, "This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." But there's a little bit more to this story. The writer needs us to understand, and I think he did it intentionally with some humour, he needed to provide us with a starting point that shows Jesus as being at the same time fully human and fully divine. From this point, it becomes more difficult to sort out fully human when we view Jesus' ministry. But here, at the very beginning, it's apparent. And that's important for us because we need to understand that Jesus, in being fully human, God as human, Jesus knows who we are, how we feel, how we react. He knows what it is like to be us. And that's important for us to understand. Because when we understand Jesus as being fully human and fully divine, then we begin to understand better what his sacrifice means for us. Because as fully divine, as God, he has the power to save us from our sins. But as fully human, he knows exactly what it meant to suffer for us in order to save us. And that's the greatest gift we could ever receive. Amen. Pray.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for sending us your dear Son Jesus to bring light into our world and to bring us his teachings and miracles. Help us to see more deeply the full meaning of miracles, such as the wedding and the wine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves, that we should let the love of Jesus and his guiding wisdom lead our lives. Help us to be confident in showing that we ourselves are Christians by being kind to others and inviting them to come and see our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your forgiveness of our shortcomings when we should be standing up for Jesus. We know from his word that he will guide our footsteps with his divine light, and even when we stray, his love will never leave us. We thank you that we live in the safety of a Christian community, and we do not face the terrible persecutions of Christians in many other countries. We pray for our world leaders that they will stand up against evil, corruption, and oppression in your otherwise peaceful and beautiful world. We pray that compassion, reconciliation, and respect will overcome anger and bullying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of illness, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them during their suffering, and miracles do happen. Make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those who are on our notice sheet: Eve Nelson, Jill and David Winder, Michael and Alison Bailey, and the friends and family of Jeff Manners, and the friends and family of Paul Burrow. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in a beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Help each one of us to be apostles of Jesus. Inspire us to bring light into the world and to share the many blessings that we have with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and before one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together: We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we're standing, time now for our peace. Christ our Saviour comes to each of us and gives us that peace which the world cannot give. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
As best we can, we share with one another a sign of that peace. We'll sing our third hymn now, which is hymn number 50, Break Thou the Bread of Life. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Sit on you for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things. who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy upon us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn now, which is hymn number 21, And Can It Be? We stand to sing.
Thank you.
So we close our worship and go to our homes with this blessing. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned and the way to life stands open in our Saviour Jesus Christ. And so may the Father who loves you, the Son who sends you, the Spirit who empowers you, be with you and bless you. Wherever you are, whatever you do, whoever you're with, to his praise and glory, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.